San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 20, 2025. Today's lesson is It's Only Natural with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Good morning and welcome home to San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. We are so pleased to see you here today. It is a big weekend in San Diego. It is Pride Weekend. And so they had the parade yesterday, and there is a large event going on at Balboa Park. And so I'm grateful for those of you who are here who are intending to go to the park later. Welcome. Welcome. It is wonderful to see your faces. This month of July, our theme has been harmony, and in going along with our 2025 annual theme of simple abundance, if you ever wanted to know what true abundance is, it's only natural to look to nature. And that's our talk for today, is it's only natural. Ernest Holmes said, I know there is a divine pattern for humanity, and within this pattern, there is infinite harmony and peace, cooperation, unity, and mutual helpfulness. And so since we know this, let's anchor ourselves in, remembering that there is only one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. Harmony and nature. There is this divine pattern for humanity that Ernest Holmes told us about. And we call that the spiritual prototype. It is the pattern where the unseen becomes the seen. Ernest tells us that there is, within this pattern, there's infinite harmony and peace, cooperation, unity, and mutual helpfulness. Mutual helpfulness. We all are helping each other in more ways than we can imagine. Simply by being here, by sitting in the chair, you are helping to build the energy within this room and the energy empowered within this lesson as it is recorded. And then all those who listen to it also will be impacted by your presence here and the power of the words that I've been inspired to give you. There are lots of ways that we are helping each other, and some of them are silly, but think about it. When we're driving on a road, staying in our own lane in traffic is helpful for everybody else on the road. Not having wild parties on a Tuesday night in the suburbs is helpful to the people who have to go to work or school in the morning. When we look before crossing a street, we are being helpful because we don't want to walk out in the street and get hit and traumatize the driver of the car. I told you, these are all different ways of being helpful. When we are in a public building, we don't color on the walls because that would damage the building. Then all the people who come in would look at it, and instead of focusing on what they're there for, they would be looking at the vandalism and going, huh, wonder what was possessing them. What was possessing the people who vandalized? We don't know, but we do know it wasn't harmony. It wasn't peace. It wasn't cooperation or unity. Silly things, but they are true. They are true. Some things are very, very simple. And some things appear complex, but are actually in a very good pattern. And this spiritual prototype that moves everything from the unseen into the seen, we can call this spirit. We can call it nature. We can call it the creator. Ernest Holmes tells us, even the spirit does not seek to control us. It lets us alone to discover ourselves. So we get to decide if our natural way of being includes vandalism of public buildings. Well, not mine. Includes staying in our lane so that traffic flows more easily. We get to choose. We get to discover for ourselves what works in our lives. What gives us peace? What gives us anxiety? We get to look around and see all of these things. Ernest Holmes is the founder of Religious Science Movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. Science of Mind and Religious Science are the same thing. It's just that we changed our name from Religious Science to Centers for Spiritual Living. Richard Wagner said, joy is not in things, it is in us. Joy is not in things, it is in us. And in the book of John, chapter 9, verse 25, it says, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now I see. I see with the eyes of God. The ancients said that there was an all-seeing eye, and that if we could cause our physical eyes to see with its vision, we could be looking at things as they really are. But is it not true that too often we see with a blurred vision because we are so confused mentally? What he's asking here is, do we not see what's really going on because we are confused, we are wrapped up in our own limiting thoughts and inability to process what is before our physical eyes? Well, that's okay, because we don't need to just use our physical eyes. We can use the eyes of God. When I was first learning spiritual mind treatment in my practitioner classes, I wrote out one of my homework assignments, which was to write a prayer treatment. And so this is where we're first learning, right? So we want to be eloquent. We practitioners want to be so spiritual, so holy, that our very presence heals people. That's usually in the first week. And we start realizing it's not about how we are for other people. It's who we are. Being a practitioner is who we are, not what we do. But I wrote out this beautiful, beautiful spiritual mind treatment. And in it, I included that the divine is all there is, and, you know, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, and how I am one with the divine, and I see without eyes, I hear without ears, I am. Now think about that. I see without eyes. Doesn't mean that I'm blind. It means that I am seeing not with my physical eyes, but with the eyes of God. And I hear without ears, meaning I'm not listening to the outer noise around me. I hear the inspirational words and emotions and things. I hear the message that is to move through me. Now, like every good Prac 1 teacher, I got comments on my homework, and the comments were on the order of, this is meaningless to the person you're praying for. Oh, okay. So I have to remember that, yes, I am writing my own treatments, but someone else is also listening to them. So the words that I use need to be relevant to what the person in front of me can understand, as well as being absolute spiritual truth. The all-seeing eye of God, by its very nature being one and only, must forever see things as they really are. Ernest goes on, we are to view everything as we feel the divine, infinite, and perfect being must know and understand its own creation to be. This is seen with the eyes of God. So when we are looking out into all of the things that surround us, what we want to do is see through the circumstances, see through the limitations, and see clearly the spiritual and divine nature of everything in front of us. Ernest writes, today I am seeing with the eyes of the divine. I am looking at things in a perfect and direct way. I am seeing a broader vision, a deeper insight, a more complete perspective of the infinite harmony that I know is back of, in, and through everything that God has made. I see everything according to the divine pattern. It's only natural. It's only natural to see in accordance with the divine pattern. And to see a more complete perspective of the infinite harmony that is back of, in, and through all that God made. All that God made. And we love it all. Our lead practitioner, Noble Benning, sent me a little blurb this week, and I thought, well, how perfect, because it's only natural. It's only natural. The quote he sent me is, I love myself enough to take excellent care of my body, and it responds by giving me vibrant good health. I take excellent care of my body because I love myself. Not in egotistical love, but in a recognition that this is the body temple that I have been given. Each of us have been given a body temple that houses our very essence. It's only natural. The essence of life is natural. Beauty is symmetry. It is absolutely symmetry. And all things that human beings consider beautiful are symmetrical. And the more symmetrical they are, the more beautiful we think they are. And this applies to physical beauty, to architecture, to everything. To everything. In order to live in balance, we need to have a harmonious relationship with all the elements that make up our environment. And we have a fast-paced world. We've got nanosecond communication and instantaneous stimulation. I can put on music right here, right now. In fact, I did a few minutes ago. And we have world-renowned singers right here, the sounds in this space. Instantaneous stimulation. Humanity, however, has a challenge to find our natural balance, a natural rhythm that allows each of us to remain healthy and still live a creative and productive life. So what better way to learn about natural balance and natural rhythm than to observe nature herself. Mother Nature is one of our best teachers and one of the best examples of how to live in accordance with these impeccable laws of the universe. It's only natural. Now let's look at a bit of the symmetry of nature. And the word symmetry means uniformity, evenness, similarity, and a sense of proportion or relation to something. So that's why I can say facial beauty is based on symmetry. The positioning of the eyes in relation to the nose, in relation to the ears, in relation to the forehead, in relation to the cheekbones, in relation to the chin, in relation to the cheeks and the mouth, all of this, when it is in perfect symmetry, mathematical symmetry, we call that beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Symmetry also means an exact correspondence of form and constituent configuration. On opposite sides of a dividing line or in relationship to a center or an axis, meaning we've got something, we draw a line down the middle and we look at both sides and they are symmetrical. For example, see this little purple piece of paper. I took a sheet, I folded it in half, and I cut a design on one side, and then I open the paper, and you can see the lines here that I drew, and I cut this out before the talk so that I don't have to play with scissors here. Runs with Scissors is somebody's Indian name, but not mine. There is a symmetrical design on either side of the fold. And in this case, it resembles a butterfly, which in nature has uniformity and similarity to each side of the body. Have you ever tried to draw a heart on a flat sheet of paper? You draw one side of the heart, and then you go back to the center point, you draw the other side of the heart, and it just doesn't quite look right. It's kind of off balance. That is why, if you ever need to draw a heart, fold your paper in half, draw half a heart, cut it out, and then lay it down where you want to have a paper and trace around, you want to have a heart and trace around that piece of paper. Butterflies have uniformity and similarity on each side of its body. It's a set of wings that are in balance and proportion with each other. Simply stated, there is a law of symmetry in nature that demonstrates harmony between spirit and form, between seen and unseen, visible and invisible, and of course, cause and effect. I have said many times, when you feel out of balance or you need some time away from the daily routine of work and responsibility, take some time in nature. Take a walk. In San Diego, we have beautiful parks, canyons, bays, and oceans all over. In fact, from where I'm standing right here, there is a park not very far behind me. There is a slough right over across about three more streets. There is another park, a parkland, just out here next to the beach. And there's the beach, and you can see the channels and the bays. Nature. Nature. Whenever you feel disconnected, whenever you feel out there or out of sorts, nature is the best tonic to bring you back to earth, so to speak. Nature has a way of connecting you to spirit in both a gentle and a profound experience. The water, the air, the sky, the birds, the animals, all come together in a perfect blend of spiritual communion. There's a song from the Disney movie Pocahontas called Colors of the Wind, and it expresses this point beautifully with these following lines. The rainstorm and the river are my brothers. The heron and the otter are my friends. We are all connected to each other in a circle, in a hoop that never ends. We are all one. The universe, the creator, is harmony. Symmetry is everywhere you look in nature. If you look at plants and animals, you're going to find they have symmetrical body shapes and patterns. If you divide a leaf in half from any tree on earth, you will often find that one half has the exact same shape as the other. If you cut a tomato in half, there will be a corresponding design on each side. Well, if you cut it in half perpendicularly, you can see the pattern on both sides. But if you slice it, then you see pieces of the pattern. But you still see the pattern has symmetry. When you observe a butterfly from above with its wings spread, there's a mirror image on each side of its body. The yin-yang symbol of the Tao, which is on your calendar, this month's calendar for July 6th, there is an image that consists of a circle divided into two teardrop-shaped halves. On our calendar, one is white and the other is green, but normally yin-yang is done in black and white. Within each half is contained a smaller circle of the opposite color. Why do you think that is? It's because it is one. There is an equal balance of energy. There is symmetry between the two sides, yin and yang. The masculine and the feminine, the assertive and the receptive, the dark and the light. And yet that circle within shows you that they are still the same thing, being represented differently. But it's still harmony. It is still wholeness. It is still the oneness. It is still nature. The yin-yang represents the undifferentiated unity out of which all existence arises. And it represents the symmetry of creation, the balance of life itself, the harmony of nature. And I have a few things that I want you to remember when you're thinking about the universal principle of balance and symmetry and harmony. First is that nature is in perfect balance with herself. Nature is in perfect balance with herself. Mother Nature has the innate wisdom not to force anything. She knows when to scale back, when to flourish, and when to let go. And so it's not like there's Mother Nature and she's, you know, dressed in gowns and has flowers around her hair and she's getting indignant about being cheated, whether it's butter or margarine. No. Mother Nature is a term that we use for the creative forces of nature, how nature is, but it's still our creator. We just call it Mother Nature. Our source, our creator, has many different labels that we humans give it. That doesn't change the creative power of the universe. The second thing I want you to remember is that spirit and form are direct counterparts of each other that continuously show up in life when you observe the natural world. Spirit and form are only two aspects of the all-inclusivity of life. We see that in our teaching symbol, spirit descending into form. That's this V in our teaching symbol. The unseen moving to the seen. And the third thing I want you to remember is to make your first priority in life being in harmony with the source of all creation. Make your first priority in life being in harmony with the source of all creation. And what that means is to consciously be in tune with the natural rhythm and harmony of nature. Be in tune with God. Be in tune with God. Beauty is symmetry. Nature is symmetry. But it isn't just what I've told you. There's a deeper level of symmetry and order and harmony in the universe. 16 years ago, Reverend John Pileski wrote some interesting facts about life and how to blend the symmetry and harmony of nature in 200 words or less. It is perfectly awesome, and I'm going to share it with you. And yes, I counted the words, and it is less than 200. There is a mathematical constant within nature called the golden section or the golden mean. This has a direct correlation to the Fibonacci series in nature, a ratio of 1.618. Many plants show the Fibonacci numbers in the arrangements of their leaves around their stems. If we look down on a plant, the leaves are often arranged so that the leaves above do not hide the leaves below. This means that each gets a good share of the sunlight and catches the most rain to channel down to the roots as it runs down the leaf to the stem. The spiral seeds within the head of a sunflower or a daisy are in direct proportion to this geometric formula. The number of spirals in the divine design of a pine cone or a pineapple reveals the same symmetry of nature. The perfect repetitive hexagon shapes of the beehive honeycomb cell is the perfect architecture design to build a home for the queen and her workers. Think of the geodesic domes of Buckminster Fuller. End quote. 173 words. Do you want me to read it again? There's a mathematical constant within nature called the golden section or the golden mean. This has a direct correlation to the Fibonacci series in nature, a ratio of 1.618. Many plants show the Fibonacci numbers in the arrangements of the leaves around their stems. If we look down on a plant, the leaves are often arranged so that leaves above do not hide the leaves below. This means that each gets a good share of the sunlight and catches the most rain to channel down to the roots as it runs down the leaf to the stem. The spiral seeds within the head of a sunflower or a daisy are in direct proportion to this geometric formula. The number of spirals in the divine design of a pine cone or a pineapple reveals the same symmetry of nature. The perfect repetitive hexagon shape of the beehive honeycomb cell is the perfect architecture design to build a home for the queen and her workers. Think of the geodesic domes of Buckminster Fuller. End quote. Whew. I mean, that is worthy of being published. Did you know that the number of bees born each summer is precisely regulated by the number of flowers that blossom in the nearby countryside. The famous image of the nautilus shell, the circular shell, has the golden ratio within its chambers of growth. The icon for today's lesson, It's Only Natural, you'll see it looks like a nautilus shell, and it is, but it's also carved into a castle, and that is revealing so many of the intricate design in the golden mean. The delicate design of a snowflake reveals the unique symmetry of nature that is never duplicated. Every snowflake is unique. Even man-made objects reflect this perfect golden ratio. The shape of postcards, a deck of playing cards, the shape of a door, a book, our Science of Mind books. Music has been composed using this ratio on the piano, with the relationship between the black and white keys as well as the notes on a musical scale, 1.618. In fact, last week I went into a lot of detail about the difference between analog and digital music. And since I was basing that on things that I knew, plus my talk with my brother, globally recognized super guru on hearing and digitizing an analog, I sent it to him and I said, hey, would you please listen to this and see if I made any mistakes that I need to correct in this coming week? And so he did. And he just wanted me to clarify something with you, because the average listener will hear what I said last week and go, oh, okay, I get it. The audiophile, the technical experts might think, well, wait a minute. She didn't explain that to my technical satisfaction. And that's okay, because that was not my audience. But the difference between digital and analog is digital is sound in a box. It is defined by frequencies. Analog is in and out of the box. And we listen to the root analog fundamental manners because the frequencies we cannot hear have a bearing on the frequencies we can hear. And that is what's missing from digital. The technical capability to do better with the digital exists, but not for your off-the-shelf average consumer. Your off-the-shelf average consumer is going to hear a long-playing album, an analog recording, much more fully, with much more depth, that they don't even know what it is, than is available commercially, digitally. Got that? So let me repeat my previous paragraph. Music has been composed using this ratio on the piano, with the relationship between black and white keys as well as the notes on a musical scale, 1.618. So if you have a high C, when you play the high C, it vibrates the low C, and it also vibrates a C that you cannot hear, but fills in to the analog experience. The Great Pyramid in Egypt has a slope of 51 degrees, 52 minutes, which is only a fraction off from this formula. It marks the spring equinox. Now, due to the angle of the sides of the pyramid versus its latitude, it casts no shadow at noon on the spring equinox. Did you know that? It's just math. The Great Pyramid is aligned true north. It's the most accurately aligned structure in existence, and it faces true north with only 3/60 of a degree of error. And the Great Pyramid is located at the center of the landmass of the Earth. Really? Really, you can look it up. So let's go back to symmetry and balance within the human body. And all of this is also with the 1.618 ratio. The tip of your finger to your first knuckle, the first knuckle to the thumb to the wrist to the elbow to the armpit to the middle chest to the extended arms and extended feet. You can draw a circle around them. It's called squaring of the circle diagram. Leonardo da Vinci has it called Vitruvian Man. It's the perfect balance of man. Now, of human, of Homo sapien. All of this has a direct correlation with the cosmic nature of the universe and mankind's relationship to it. All of it. Although the laws of nature are set and immutable, life has a tendency to change. And this is what Dr. Ernest Holmes wrote in the Science of Mind textbook on page 385. Nature will not let us stay in any one place too long. She will let us stay just long enough to gather the experience necessary to the unfolding and advancement of the soul. This is a wise provision, for should we stay here too long, we would become too set, too rigid, too inflexible. Nature demands the change in order that we may advance. When the change comes, we should welcome it with a smile on the lips and a song in the heart. Nature demands the change in order that we may advance. Going from the unseen to the seen, from the thought to the form. Now, I just want to remind you that humans see beauty as symmetry in accordance with the divine prototype, the spiritual prototype. And you can see the symmetry measured out in the Vitruvian Man. Everything that humans consider beautiful, that most humans consider beautiful, is symmetrical. Now, some artists see things differently, and their art is beautiful. But for a standard of beauty, it is perfect symmetry. 51 years ago, Joy Starr wrote a poem, and it was published in the Aspire magazine in July of 1974. It is still true, and it will always be true because it always was true. And I'm going to read that for you now. Rooted and grounded in love. The love of God will never fail. A wind may bow a tree in place, but after storm winds, rushing gale, the tree grows firm, its leaves like lace. And little children, unafraid, may play beneath the cooling shade. We are such trees that storms may bend when trouble comes on every hand. And yet God keeps us to the end. Rooted in God's deep love, we stand and find the words to help and bless all those who need our tenderness. And Ernest Holmes said, I know there is a divine pattern for humanity. And within this pattern, there is infinite harmony and peace, cooperation, unity, and mutual helpfulness. Rooted in God's deep love, we stand and find the words to help and bless all those who need our tenderness. It's only natural. This is our natural way of being. So I thank you for your time. One more thing. If you are ever feeling less than, or small, or feel that you don't matter, remember that you are made from an unseen divine prototype. And if you feel like no matter what you're doing, it doesn't matter, make a dish, a water dish for wildlife. Just take a little dish out, put water in it, and then step back. And you will see how everything you do matters. That's nature. It's only natural. So I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.